Martha gave me this. It's the ABCs of Acts. Acts 1, the ascension of Jesus. That's A. See, ascension, A. Come on. 2, beginning of the church. C is crippled man healed. D, which is chapter 4, disciples detained. Chapter 5, E, evil companions to wise counsel. Acts 6, faithful chosen, the 7 men serve tables. Chapter 7, great sermon of Stephen, and it is that. Chapter 8, havoc to happiness. Chapter 9, I am Jesus whom you persecute, what Paul was told on the road. Chapter 10, journey to Joppa. Chapter 11, kingdom taken to Gentiles. Also, chapter 10, kingdom taken to Gentiles. My phone is ringing, honey. Chapter 12, led out of prison by angels. We're there tonight. Chapter 13, missionary journey begins. Chapter 14, not God, but man. Chapter 15, O law, not binding. Chapter 16, Philippian converted, Philippian jailer. Chapter 17, questions on Mars Hill. 18, reteaching the apostle. Apollos, my eyes and anyway. Chapter 19, seven sons. Chapter 20, Troas to the road, Lord's Day, on the Lord's Day. 21, uproar in Jerusalem. 22, the defense. 23, waiting to kill Paul. Excuse from Felix. And 24, yoke of bondage, reviewed by Festus. 25, zealous before Agrippa. 27, adventured by ship to Rome. And then 28, the last chapter, bearing the gospel to Rome. If you'd like a copy of that, we can get you a copy of it. And I thank Martha for offering that to us. The ABCs, and you might be easy to learn what happened each chapter that way. Okay, chapter 12 tonight. Chapter 11 has one important event. Well, it has several, but one particular verse that I said, remember, what is that in chapter 11? They were first called Christians where? Where are the other two places that's used? Okay, before Felix, almost persuaded me to be a Christian. And then if any man suffer, 1 Peter, as a Christian, he'll be glorified because of that. Okay, so chapter 12 tonight. Now about that time, Herod the king strengthened his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. The Bible is not a history book, but when it talks about history, it is a true book. Josephus was not a New Testament writer, but he wrote in the time of Christ. And when Josephus, and he wrote about this event with Herod with the worms in a minute, he wrote about that. And when he wrote about it, he got the right place, right time. Well, the Bible got it the right place and right time as well. So it's not a history book. When it's written about history, though, it's correct. It's not a science book. When he talked about science, though, it's correct. It's just a book from God. That's what it is. It's just a miracle. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, what, the killing of James, verse 2, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. And now it was during the days of unleavened bread, so it gives a time element. So when he approached, apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him in 4 squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him out before the people after Passover. Not kill somebody during Passover, but after Passover. Again, we know about time element. We know about the event of Passover, how that took place, and about Peter being put in prison. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant. What's your version? This says constant. What's your version say? Earnest is a good word. Earnest prayers were offered to God for him by the church. So tonight in the announcements, we announce that our preacher, Randy, has been put in prison. And we're asking the church to meet together in small groups to pray for him, his release. Who comes to mind, in your mind, that would have a small group to pray for Randy? It seemed like the church had no problem in knowing where to go. Had no problem in knowing which house to go to. I hope that my house will be involved in that. But I know they'll be praying over here. But I can think of several members here just off the top of my mind that, yep, you would be meeting. You'd be praying. And praying earnestly. It's not a, you know, thank you for the food and, you know, that kind of thing. It's earnest prayer. Is there a difference in praying earnestly and just praying? I think there is. When my heart and my soul and my mind is really involved in what I'm saying and what I'm doing and how it's affecting me and how it affects those who hear me, I think that's important. And those of us who lead public prayer need to think about that when we pray. Ladies, I'll tell you, if you've never led a public prayer, it's not easy. It's not easy. And yes, you can say a few sentences and maybe some cliches and that'd be the end of it. But a thought out, prayed out prayer is not easy. There's a man over at Faulkner, I won't call his name, but whenever he leads a prayer, it's usually about two sentences or maybe a small paragraph. But it's a thought out sentence. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just encompasses what's going on. Cecil received his honorary doctorate degree, 3 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And there were some of us that were, well, I showed up. I don't know if I was invited or not. I still don't know if I was invited. But anyway, showed up. And several prayers were led. But this one guy in particular just encompassed the whole, what we're trying to do, honor Cecil and appreciate what all he's done, and two or three sentences just did that. And that's, wow. Some people can do that, and some of us can't. But prayer needs to be thought out, and it's difficult. It's difficult to lead the congregation. I thought, and as he's sitting here, but I thought the prayer that that was offered when we installed our new preacher, I thought that was a good prayer, David. You could tell he'd thought about it. You could tell he'd thought about it. I can call other names. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But it's difficult to lead a good prayer. But remember, the audience is who? God's the audience, isn't he? And so am I trying to say something for everybody, or am I trying to talk to God? My daddy was not faithful to church for a while. He had been faithful, been a deacon and all that. That kind of ended for a short time. But when he came back, he was leading the prayer at the tables, Lord's Supper table. And he got, confused. And he prayed, "Lord, you know what I'm trying to say." Did he? Did the Lord know that? Yeah, he knew that. So we're not trying to put on a show. We're not trying to be, it's to God. But we are leading a prayer, meaning we're leading the congregation in what's going on in what I'm saying. So think about that. But anyway, so this prayer was made, constant prayer, urgent prayer. I like that version better. Was made for him. Verse 6, then Herod was about to bring him out of prison now. He's got four quadrant of men guarding him. He's in prison. He's got his chains on. That night before, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guard before the door were keeping the prison. They were pretty serious about prison. It wasn't any recreation time and all the kind of stuff that you got to deal with. But it was serious prison. And sometimes they would chain you between two guards. Your chains would be on two other guards. Now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. By who? Who are we talking about? Peter. Yes, Peter. And struck him. Well, let's see. Stood by him. A light shone in the prison. And he struck him, Peter on one side, and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Get ahead of me. What's Peter thinks going on? I'm having the best dream. You won't believe this dream, how God's going to take care of me. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garments and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing in a vision. And when he were past the first and second guard post, now, were they asleep? I don't know how he passed them, but anyway, he did. He came into the iron gate that led to the city, which opened by on its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed on him. And Peter, verse 11, finally, Peter had come to himself. He said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord had sent his angel, had delivered me from the hands of Herod and from the execution of the expectation of the Jewish people." What was Herod going to do with Peter? What was Herod going to do with Peter? Kill him. What had he done with James, brother of John? Okay, with a sword. And that pleased the Jews. So, hey, if he did it, that's good. I'll get the leader and see what they'll do with him. So when he considered this, verse 12, he came to the house of Mary. You see what I'm saying about whose house would you go to? That's a pretty good choice, isn't it? Hello? Yes or yes? Mary's a pretty good choice. Because he knew if anybody going to be praying for me to get out of prison or somehow make this go away, it'd be Mary's house. So he came to the house of Mary. verse 12. And so when he considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Remember that name, we're going to talk about later, where many were gathered together in praying. Peter knocked on the door of the gate. A girl named Rhoda came to answer. "Let me in." "Is that you, Peter?" "Let me in." And she was so excited. What'd she do? She didn't let him in. She didn't let him in. Don't open this door. What'd she do? "Hey, it's Peter. He's out of prison. He's at the gate." And what'd they say? These people in earnest prayer, what are they praying? "Dear Lord, please get Peter out of there. He's out here." "No, dear Lord, please. He's outside." It's almost humorous, isn't it? Does God answer prayers that are not prayed in faith? Well, I believe you can do what you want to do, God. I just don't believe you're going to do it this way. Get him out this fast. Have you ever had a prayer answered that fast? And they said, "It can't be Peter. It must be what? His angel." Jews believed that everyone had an angel or two, and Peter must have had his angel. In fact, if you remember back when, after Jesus' resurrection, and Mary goes back and tells the apostles she's talked to him, what do they say? "No, you haven't. You probably saw his angel." And they believe the angel stays around 3 or 4 days after you die. You saw his angel. You didn't see Jesus. "Yes, I did. Come see for yourself." And when they told Simon, "I won't believe he rose in the grave until what? Till I feel his nail prints in his hands, feel his side. It's amazing that God will still respond to us even though our faith is not really what it should be. God just doesn't work that way, does he? It's amazing, folks. And I think one day when our eyes are really open and we see how God has worked in our lives, what he's done for us, it'll amaze us. Sometimes it takes one of our elders to call it out and say, you know, this may be, the Lord may be answering our prayers, and the answer may be no. Oh, that's an answer. It wasn't a good answer for my kids. They didn't like no. They liked yes. Didn't like later. They didn't really like that. But sometimes no's an answer, isn't it? Is no an answer? Yeah. There used to be a country song. I've lived long enough to thank God for unanswered prayers. Because sometimes we don't know really why we're praying or what we're praying for. God heard the prayers of the saints offered for Peter. I think God heard our prayers offered for our preacher, for Randy and for Andrew. If he doesn't, then why even pray? I don't believe we're lucky. I believe we're blessed. That sure was lucky. I don't believe it. No, I believe I'm blessed. I was on the back of a little scooter. It was a Cushman Eagle, Randy, Cushman Eagle. Had a gear shift, looked like a, you know, like I was doing, had two gears in it, low and high. And behind me was my friend Larry Mayberry. And we'd gone to the pulling hole to swim, and we were coming back, and we'd stopped at Shiloh Church because they had a spring out of the mountain there. You can get water. Had one dip cup. Everybody dipped out of the same cup, drank out of the same cup. Anyway, we got back on the bike, and he was wringing out his bathing suit. I can remember it right now. And I was looking. I don't know why I was watching him do that, but I was turned around looking. And when I turned back around, a six-wheeler mail truck, one of those big mail trucks, six wheels, was headed directly towards me. We're probably here to where you're sitting, David. Just, I mean, right here at us. And I took the bike and leaned as far as I could to my right. And that truck passed us, and the bed of the truck went across this shoulder. Didn't touch me, but I could feel it go across that shoulder. I'm lucky. I believe God saved me. I couldn't prove it. Yeah, I can. I'm here. But I mean, it went right across my shoulder, folks. And then when I got off the bike, I couldn't talk. I could hardly walk. And Larry said, did you? I said, yeah. Both of us were stuttering and spitting and thanking the Lord. Because how would I explain that to my mama that got my head cut off? But how many things have happened in our lives that God has been a part of? Well, all right, so he knocked on the door. The girl, Rhoda, comes and answers the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, verse 14, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood at the gate. But they said to her, "You're beside yourself." What does a little kid know? Be surprised. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. And they said, "It's his angel." And what's Peter doing? He's knocking on the door. You know why? They're looking for him, aren't they? He's escaped from jail. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were, what'd you say, class? Astonished. When God answers prayers, does it amaze us? Are we astonished? Well, my faith says I shouldn't be astonished. I should expect that. If that's his answer now, because the answer could be no. But they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Why tell James? Why was James brought out by himself? Why James? That's the brother, yeah. And he needs some good news. He needs some good news. John had been killed, beheaded, and so James needed some good news. Tell him what God did for me. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had happened to Peter. Did they know? Did the soldiers know? They knew he wasn't here. I don't know if they knew how he got out, but they knew he wasn't here. And when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. Don't mess around if you're going to be a guard. And went down to Joppa, Caesarea, and stayed there. So you can see why the soldiers would be upset about this, because they took their life, took their job pretty serious. And when we get into Paul going to Rome and the Roman voyage, that's pretty interesting too, how that he was tied to a centurion. What's a centurion over? How many men? 100 centurion, okay. Check me out. I don't know of any bad centurions in the New Testament. Cornelius was a centurion. And their centurions seemed to be a good guys. I don't know why, but they were just good guys. And when Paul had to go to Rome, we'll talk about that when we get there. I don't get off on that. Okay. Verse 20. Now Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, having made Balas, the king, a chamberlain, their friend, and asked for peace because their country was supplied with food from the king's country. So no tariffs, just peace, what we want. We'll buy food from you, and you'll be happy with us, and we're happy with you. So on a set day, Herod arrived, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne, gave an orientation to them, and the people kept shouting, "The very voice of God and not a man." Be careful what you shout. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, Herod, because he did not give God the glory to God, and was eaten by worms and died. And the word of the Lord grew and multiplied. Always give God the glory, right? I mean, always give God the glory. And it may be nice for a politician to hear, that's the voice of God speaking. No. I'm just a man. When Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas make their journey, they're called, you know, Jupiter and Zeus and all that. No. We're just a man, even though it may be a great message. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. They had fulfilled their ministry. They also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And John Mark's going to be a big disappointment to Paul. Not so much to Barnabas, but it will be to Paul, because he's going to join them on this next journey, on the first journey, chapter 13. We'll get into that, Lord willing, next week. No, that's singing next week, isn't it? Week after next. And we'll start the journeys. I hope to have some maps for you. Maybe we can follow them on the screens. These are nice screens and big screens. You can see them. I can see them. And follow Paul's journey. And mention a few things. I mean, not everything, but mention a few things that he did on each journey so that you'll have the first three journeys of Paul in mind. Fourth journey, of course, is to Rome. We'll talk about that more next week. All right. Pray. Pray earnestly. Pray urgently. and wait for God to answer. By the way, sometimes we need to wait for God. No, we need to wait for God. Not sometimes. We just need to wait for God. So even though the prayer doesn't seem to be answered, even though it doesn't seem to be right away, keep praying. Keep praying. And eventually God will answer your prayers. Father, we're thankful that you hear our prayers. We know how feeble we are sometime in praying. Help us, Father, to be urgent in our prayers, especially for the church, for the spreading of the church, for our families. We want you, Father, to love us so we can show that love to everyone we come in contact with. Bless us through this night, we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. All righty. Thank you for coming. Short.